All right. We're going to go into our Bibles right away so we could, you know, take advantage of the time. If you go with me, please, to Luke chapter 16, verse 19, please. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. I would be reading four verses there. If you would follow me with your eyes, I would just read out loud. And then we'll jump straight to the message today. You guys there? Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Okay. You could stay seated. I will just read real quick. It says, Luke 16, 19 says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I want to talk to you guys about the subject, the truths about hell. The truths about hell. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you gave us to be here this morning. I want to ask you to forgive me of all my sins and help me be a better Christian every day. I want to ask you to help me to share this message to the church today. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to work in every heart and to help us in this subject about hell. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we study the Bible throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus using different methods of teaching. Sometimes he would use parables and different ways to symbolize truths. And through those methods, he would teach the truths of God and the Word of God to the people. And what catches my attention here is that when we read Luke 16, and we get to this story on verse 19, Jesus wasn't using a parable, but he used a true story about two people. The story of the rich man and Lazarus is not a parable. It's not something that the Lord Jesus used to symbolize something. He was actually telling a true story about two men that once in history were living in this earth like you and I were living today. There were people alive once, and it's believed that they were alive before the time of Jesus, because when Jesus was telling the story, he was talking about them, and then he said that they died. They had died already. And through this story, Jesus wants to tell us certain truths that we should know about this place called hell. In verse 19, Jesus starts the story saying, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. As you can see, we cannot find the name of this rich man. Jesus didn't mention the name. It's believed that the name of this rich man wasn't given because he represents someone that didn't believe in God. He represents someone that didn't care about God at all. He would just live by the worldly things. He would just go out to satisfy his own flesh and his own desires. He was a person that didn't want nothing to do with God. He didn't believe in God. And he would even probably mock the things of God and never open his heart to believe in God at all. So the Bible says that Jesus said there was just a certain rich man. And Jesus said this man was rich. He would probably have a big house. He would probably have many properties. If you would probably live in his times, and you would have the opportunity to go in his house, right in the entrance, when you enter the rich man's house, you probably would find many expensive furniture in the living room. All these different type of furniture, all these different type of things, many, probably in the kitchen, dishes made of gold and silver. And if you would have the opportunity to go to his room, you will find all this jewelry, gold, silver, precious stones, and all this type of expensive jewelry and expensive clothing. The Bible says he would dress elegantly. He would dress with purple and fine linen. Those type of clothes were expensive clothes during that time. He wouldn't just dress as everyone else. He would dress with the best type of clothing on his times. He would probably buy anything he wants. If he would like it, he will buy it. The Bible says that he would eat every day, simply every day. He would have everything he wanted to in his table to eat every day. The best foods during that time, the best fruits, the best vegetables. I mean, he was just living a high class life. A lot of people that would see him, they would say, I wish I was that rich man. I wish I would have everything he has. I wish I would eat everything he eats every day. I wish I was on his shoes. I wish I would have all these riches like him. That would make me happy. But you know what? Apparently he had everything. But he was missing one thing. He didn't have God. He didn't have salvation of his soul. He had everything on his world during his times, and he would probably buy anything he wanted, but he didn't have no salvation. He didn't have no God. He didn't have the peace of God and the joy of having God in his life. And apparently he was rich under the eyes of the people, but under the eyes of God, he was a poor man. Under the eyes of God, he didn't have nothing. He was poor because he was lost. Because his heart was closed for God when he was alive. And then the Bible says, the Lord Jesus then talks about another man, verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now we find a name here, Lazarus. God wanted us to remember Lazarus because he was a faithful man of God. He lived his life for God. The Bible says that he would preach about God to others, because when the rich man was in hell, he said, please send Lazarus to my family so that he can testify to them, and they won't come to this place of torment. So that tells us that the rich man knew that Lazarus was a preacher. He was a person that would tell others about salvation. He was a person that would tell others about God, and they would, he would tell them to open their heart for God, and would tell them about the need they had of about God and of God in their life. But during this time, it says he was sick, he was full of sores, and he was a beggar asking for money. He was in need. And people say, why does this man that was faithful to God was in this situation? The only thing I can tell you is that God knows what he does. Sometimes he will put us in situations that we don't know why, but he knows why. Because he has a purpose behind everything. Because everything good or bad that comes to our life, according to Romans chapter 8, is for a good. It's for something good. And God is letting it happen because he has a plan behind that burden or behind that problem, behind all those hard times. And it's believed that the rich man, Lazarus, was in this situation because God wanted this guy to preach to this rich man on its last days of life. He was at the gate of this rich man. And he would probably preach to him and tell him, you need to repent. You need to open your heart. You need to let God into your life. And this rich man, he wouldn't care about Lazarus. He wouldn't even give him the crumbs that would fall from his table. And he wouldn't care about him. But then it came to the time where the Bible says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The day came where they both died. And let me tell you, brother, bad news for us. One day we're going to die. And there's only two places where we're going to go. Either heaven or either hell. There's no such thing as purgatory. The Bible doesn't teach nothing about that. There's no such thing as reincarnation. There's no such thing as, like the Jehovah say, you just are buried and your brain shuts off. And if God wants to lift you up, he will. If not, you're just going to stay there sleeping for an eternity. Well, my Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, to a place of rest, to a place, apparently, a place like heaven. But then the rich man died, and he was buried. But he didn't stay right there. In verse 23, it says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. The Bible says that after this rich man died, he went to a place called hell. The original word in Greek is the word Hades. Hades, it means the place where the death go. And he's not talking about where you buried a person. Because if this person, if he was talking about some place to be buried, then why does the rich man was able to see and he was able to speak? Because 80s, it talks about the place where the people without God goes to. And it's not a really fun place to be. It's not a good place to be there. And I just want to point out a couple truths that this rich man found out about hell after he died. In verse 23 at the beginning it says, and it came to pass that and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. So I believe this rich man died and then he opened his eyes and he started looking around and he started feeling the fire and he started feeling the torment and he probably started asking himself, what's going on? Why am I being burned? Why do I feel this torment? Where am I? And then he remembered. And he said, oh, now I know where I am. And the first truth that this rich man found out about hell, number one, is that hell is a true place. Hell is not a fantasy, brother. Hell is a true place. Just like we are here sitting down right now. It's a reality you're sitting down. It's a reality you see people around you. It's a reality that that chair is holding you. Hell is the same way. Right now there's people in this place. People being tormented in this place. And let me tell you that there's a lot of people that before they died, they didn't believe in this place. And they would make fun of this place. And they would mock this place. And they would be like, that's not true. Hell is not true. I don't believe that. I don't want to hear it. Get out of my house. I'm done with that preaching stuff. But when they died, they were surprised to find themselves in a place that they thought that it didn't exist. And you know what happened? They stopped being unbelievers. And right now, they are believers. But it's too late. Now they believe in this place. Now they believe this place is truth because they are living in this place now. They waited until they could see it with their own eyes. Instead of believing the word of God and the preaching of the word of God. And the sad part is that we say we believe in this place, but you know what? We don't live like we believe in this place. When we don't tell others about Jesus, we're denying this place. When we don't get involved in taking the gospel to other people, go soul winning. When we don't get involved in missions, when we don't get involved in other people to get to know the salvation of Jesus Christ, we are saying we don't believe that this place exists. We are saying that we don't care that people go to this place. And we are living a life that reveals that we don't believe in this place. Oh yeah, I believe in hell. I believe hell is truth. Yeah, but you don't live like hell is true. Your life doesn't tell me that hell is true. Because you don't even soul win, brother. You know why the church was left in this world? To win souls for Christ. That's the main purpose that church exists. That's the main purpose that we are here. To tell others about Jesus, to tell others about salvation, to warn others about this place. Because this place is true. Because now there's people every second dying and going to this place. But when we don't get involved, we're saying, oh, I don't believe in hell. Yeah, with your words you say you believe. But with your actions, you're saying something else. When we don't give to missions, we're saying this place doesn't exist. You don't get involved in missions. You don't get involved in other people being saved in other parts of the world. You're saying you don't believe in this place. You know, I'm a missionary by the grace of God. But I give to missions. Because I believe that is my responsibility as a Christian to get involved in taking the gospel all over the world. And once I started giving to missions, I saw God's blessing in my life. Because God blesses. Once I knew and I learned to give, I could see God blessing my life. Yeah. One of the reasons why I think God has blessed my deputation is because I've been trying to be faithful by giving. Yes, and praise the Lord, in 1 year, I'm about 95% on my support. Awesome. By the grace of God. Yes. When you don't give, you say you don't believe. When you don't preach, you're saying you don't believe. When you don't get involved in others being saved, you're saying you don't believe. Verse 24, it says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. The second truth that these rich men found out about hell is that in hell there's no more mercy. Please have mercy on me, Father Abraham, and send Lazarus so he can give me like a little drop of water, because I'm burning in this flame. There's no more mercy here, rich man. God had a lot of mercy when you were alive. He had a lot of patience with you. He was waiting for you to repent, but the only thing you would do is just laugh about the things of God. You wouldn't open your heart. You wouldn't believe. You would mock the preachers. You would laugh about preachers. And right now, there's no more mercy. In this place, you just come to be tormented and pay for the sin that you didn't want it to repent from. He found out that there was no mercy on hell. He found out that hell wasn't a place where people is going to go to party like people think. Oh, I'm going to be with my friends in hell. I'm going to be smoking. I'm going to be drinking. I'm going to be having fun. I'm going to be there. Even I'm going to tell the devil, come on, devil, let's have some tequila shots. No, sir. In hell, you're not going to be partying. In hell, you're not going to be with your friends having fun. In hell, there's no people that is smiling or laughing. No. In hell, there's no more mercy. Right. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place where they're going to be paying for their sin because they didn't want it to accept the salvation in Jesus Christ. And they're going to find out that God had a lot of mercy with their soul while they were alive. But after their death, after they die, they're going to find out that hell has no more mercy. Right. Have mercy of me. It's too late. Once you're in to suffer. Once you're in, there's no way out. Once you're in, there's no more mercy from God. There's no more patience for God, from God. There's no more love from God. The love of God is now. God's mercy is now. Right now, God is having mercy with the people, having mercy with the soul, giving opportunities to people. But once they die, denying the truth, there's no more mercy in hell for them. Verse 25. He says, but Abraham said, son, remember. Number three. Hell is a place of remembrance. Remember all the times that they talked to you about Jesus. Do you remember? Do you remember the times that you were in church listening to preaching? Do you remember when you used to listen to message after message after message after message, but you wouldn't open your heart? Do you remember? And right now in hell, people's being tormented not only by fire, but it's being tormented in their mind, because now they're remembering all the opportunities God gave them and they rejected the opportunities. Right now they're saying, why didn't I believe? Why didn't I open my heart? I remember this preaching telling me to believe. I remember this soul winner coming to my house and I would treat him bad. Why did I do that? And now they're remembering. They're remembering they came to a church like this. And they were sitting in a bench like you're sitting right now. But they never believe. There's a lot of young people in hell, sadly, that they were in church, in a church like this one, where they had godly parents telling them, believe in Jesus, son. Come to church. Serve God. But they never wanted to open their heart for Jesus. And now they're in this place, remembering the times that they could have been saved. They're not going to have any other opportunity anymore. They are remembering the times where their parents would pray for them. And they are remembering the times they were laughing in their heart when the pastor was preaching the word of God. Hell is a place of remembrance, and you know what they're also remembering of? Right now, there's people remembering that they met you, and they met me, and we didn't talk to them about Jesus. Right now, they're remembering all the times that you were by them, that I was by them, but that I never gave them a track. They're remembering that I never talked to them about Jesus. And they remember our face. And they're saying, why didn't he talk to me? Why didn't he insist? And hell is a place of remembrance. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. It says, remember that when you were alive, you had your good things. You had money, you were rich, and you had all these riches, and you would buy anything you want, but Lazarus didn't have anything. But now you find out the riches couldn't buy your salvation. So number four, hell is a place where they learn to value what's really valuable. Yeah. And this rich man is saying, all my money wasn't worth it. All the time I gave to make money and to live for the world and to satisfy my flesh and to give my time and to give my talents to this world, it wasn't really valuable. And I thought it was. Now I found out that the most valuable thing is the salvation of my soul. Amen. That's the most valuable thing in life, brother. Amen. Salvation of souls. Souls being saved. That's why Jesus came and died in the cross, so souls can be saved. That's why you and me, we're here today. Because Jesus came and died. And because once we believe in Jesus, and now we are here saved by the grace of God. But there's a lot of people that don't believe like that. They think that being famous, that's the best thing in life. You know that in hell there's famous people now? There's people that were in TV, in movies, Hollywood people. People that they even became doctors and they became these great scientists. And they have their college degrees and they were smarter than you and me together. But they never repented. And right now in hell, they're saying, my money, my titles, and all the fame I had wasn't worth it. The only thing that was worth it is was being saved by Jesus, and I rejected the truth. And now they and understand what's really valuable, salvation of souls. That's why we have to have a focus on saving souls. Yeah. Making money here in the States, brother, is not the most important thing as a Christian. Having a big house or a big car or these good cars, I'm trying to say, it's not the most important thing. Materialistic stuff is a need. But it's not the most important things. It's something we could all actually use for others to be saved. But the problem is that we put our heart in that. And we lost focus on what is the most important thing. I want to finish up with the last thing, verse 20, 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He says, I pray, therefore, Father. Number five, hell is a place of prayer. I pray that you send someone to talk to my family about this place. And a lot of people in hell are praying that you and me would do something for the souls. They're praying that you and me would do our part. They're asking, and they're saying, please don't stop soul winning. Please don't stop telling others about Jesus. Please don't stop giving to missions. Please don't start having that heart for the souls. Please keep on preaching. Please keep on reaching souls. Please keep on working for others to be saved. Please keep on taking the gospel to other people so that they won't come to this place of torment where I am right now. And hell is a place of prayer, where people is praying that we focus on winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are here today and you're not saved, I beg you to open your heart for salvation. If you are here today and you are saved, but you're not doing much for Jesus, for the gospel to reach others, why don't you do something? And if you are already doing a lot, that's a blessing. But probably God wants you to do more. Why don't you ask God to let guide you this year and tell you what He wants you to do so that the gospel could reach others for salvation? Let us pray. Dear God, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everyone that is being saved. I want to ask you for those that are not saved right here today, that you might save them. And I want to ask you to give us a heart for the lost, Pastor.